Welcome to the Drango Joe's podcast, helping people discover their greatness in life, leadership, and business. I'm Joe Lloyd, owner of Drango Joe's Coffee, and we are here today talking about dealing with the hiring slump of 2021, specifically in the service industry. Plus, this is a good note, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary for Drango Joe's podcast. It's crazy. We've done like 33, I think, this year. So that's exciting. Now today, I have on the mic Tiffany DeBoer, Drango Joe's cultural leader, and Steven Cirkovich. Yes, that's hard to say and even harder to spell, but that's Drango Joe's chief leadership director here at Drango Joe's. And we're here to talk about this issue again about the hiring slump. And these guys are going to give us some insight and advice on actually kind of what we're doing here at Drango Joe's to combat that. So Steve, how goes it, buddy?
It goes well, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Tiffany?
Doing awesome.
Are you?
Yeah.
This is my first go at being the host. So you guys have to...
Got to make Trevor proud.
You got to make Trevor That's proud. Right. You got to cut me a little slack. But, you know, before we jump into this topic of dealing with this massive hiring slump in the service industry that it's really experiencing right now on a huge level, I want to ask you guys a question. Now, this... Obviously, these podcasts deals with leadership issues and things like that. And you guys have leadership in your titles and all of that good stuff. And so what I'm going to do every week or every 2 weeks when we have our podcast come out, I'm going to have questions about leadership to our guests. And so today, you're the guinea pigs. I'm going to ask you a question about leadership and you guys will answer it. So as you well know, leadership, obviously, without it is a disaster. You got to have it. It's key to any business's success. And the renowned leadership expert, John Maxwell, said it the best. He said, everything rises and falls on leadership. So the question I have for you today, and I'll start with you, Tiff, as a leader, who do you look up to for inspiration and mentorship?
That's a great question. I would have a hard time naming just one. I would say that something that I've adopted as a result of being in this role and being underneath you, Joe, for this many years is really been the gift of adopting a growth mentality, a leadership growth mentality. So if I had to, if you're going to make me name a few, in my personal life, a friend and mentor that we met through you, Joe, is Marshall. He's been really pivotal in introducing so many leadership aspects in my life. If I was going to name a few podcast/authors, I would name Brené Brown, the Entree Leadership Crew, and anybody associated with them. And then another author, Simon Sinek.
Awesome. What about you, Stevie?
Well, you let Tiff go first, so she covered all mine. So same answer. But to elaborate, yeah, same thing. You at times have been a mentor as well. Marshall certainly, especially in some of the trainings he gave us. And then probably my favorite one that I follow on a few platforms is Simon Sinek. He covers a lot, whether it's the why behind things, how you deal with the workforce as the workforce gets younger, things like that. I really enjoy his thoughts and video excerpts he has.
Awesome. Well, I think as a leader, we always have to be learning and spending time outside of work, filling our minds and our hearts with things that help us deal with people. Because I think leadership's all about dealing with people. And we say this a lot, people are messy and we all are. And so we sometimes have a lot of different issues that come up in leadership that aren't so fun. And having the tools in your toolbox to really deal with those things is super important. So I know you guys are heavy learners. You guys are listening to podcasts and we're bringing in people into our company often to talk to us about leadership. So that's awesome. So we're going to get to the topic of this hiring slump. Now, post-pandemic, you know, as we know, the world is trying to get back to this normal kind of, you know, how we do life thing. But how in the heck can this country get back to normal if businesses can't find enough people to work? And it's really a huge issue right now. And we hear it on the news. We hear it. We're facing it on a daily basis. But a March survey, I read an article the other day about this. It said a March survey by the National Federation of Independent Businesses found that 42% of owners had job openings that could not be filled. And that's a record high, they said. And 91% of those hiring or trying to hire reported few or no qualified applicants for the positions they were trying to fill, which is major frustrating. Now, obviously, this is turning into a huge obstacle for growth for many small businesses, and small businesses in the service industry have made it a point, and they've adjusted everything about their business to and their operations to get through this worst part of the pandemic. And now they are burdened with this, you know, fact that they're trying to increase business, but can't find the employees to actually increase business. And we have firsthand, and I've talked to many coffee shop owners around this country that are suffering in the same place. They want to increase their business. They really do, but they can't find the people to make it happen. So, Tiffany, you oversee, obviously, all the hiring here at Durango Joe's, and you have for, I don't know, a long time. Mm-hmm. How many years? 7, 8, 9?
Between 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this year is really, and I'm going to call it your 15th year at Durango Joe's, which is... Wow, that's a long time.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. So what are the current state of affairs here in our business here at Durango Joe's? What's happening as far as hiring? Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, it has been a little bit different. For those who are not as familiar with Durango Joe's, we have 11 locations, 6 of which are in northern New Mexico, 5 of which are in Durango, Colorado. And our New Mexico locations, as of this moment, knock on all the wood, are hired up. And, you know, we are looking down the road and there might be a few more positions that we need to fill soon. But that being said, that we had a little bit of a struggle at the beginning, but we're able to reach a point where we had enough applications come in and they got hired up. Now, our 5 locations in Durango, entirely different story. This is where we can relate to everybody, you know, across the nation who cannot get in enough applications and cannot hire enough people to fill all the positions to accommodate for the level of business that is coming in at the moment. And so we are struggling and hitting all the very various avenues of advertising and, you know, jumping into groups and forums and things like that to really try and foster getting in more applications and fostering more interviews and bringing on really good people. But it's been a struggle and it still is. We're still very much in that battle.
Yeah. And people are out and about. I mean, more people are coming to Durango, obviously for vacations and all that kind of stuff. Summer, we're right in the middle of the summer heat. And so a lot is going on. And again, to keep up with the amount of business, we just don't have the amount of people. And so Steve, how does Durango Joe's, how have they had to pivot, you think, or adjust to having this lack of workers things? What have we done?
Well, probably the most obvious one is if we don't have enough people to work shifts and hours in a day, we have to adjust the schedule accordingly. As much as you don't really want to do that, we had to. That's not really a choice. If you have everybody working twice what their normal working, longer hours, things like that, you're going to face burnout and lose people who you can't afford to replace at the moment anyways. And then from there, we've hired at stores. And instead of necessarily opening back up as quickly as we can to normal hours, using some of those new hires to fill to make an easier, you know, faster time for the customers, easier time, the crew's not feeling overworked, and just adjusting as appropriate. We've been fortunate enough. We haven't had to have a day we close. We've been able to hire and schedule well enough that every store can be open into the middle to late afternoon. But we're also not holding our breath. And anything we can do to change how we, you know, the product we sell, things like that, things that take a lot of time, processes and procedures, slim them down, you know, taking things off the menu if necessary. In the kitchen, we've had to cut down some products because in the kitchen, we're having the same issue of getting people hired. So just whatever we can do with those we have that doesn't burn them out, I think is paramount.
Yeah, it is paramount. I mean, you know, one of the things that we never did do was actually close our businesses. Now, there's many businesses out there in the service industry that actually had to close and then rehire. And so we've always kept a core of people that could work. But it was the fact that, you know, I think that was our saving grace is that we never did close. We did all the things to keep every, you know, store open, which was difficult. But now we're, you know, back to normal again, trying to fill some positions that need to get filled. So in Durango specifically, I know a couple weeks ago, you guys attended this forum, both you and Steve, Tiffany and Steve here, sorry about that, but attended this forum about this issue, and you met with a dozen or more business operators. What was the theme, or what was the, I guess, temperature in the room when it comes to this topic?
I think one important thing to indicate here that I think is applicable is that it was a dozen or so businesses that were all service industry related, because that, if we really want to hone in on, you know, what we're facing here, it is, it's a problem in the service industry with a lot of different restaurants. I would say the biggest takeaway I had was that, oh, thank God we're not alone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. We're not alone.
Yeah, it's not just, oh no, something's wrong with Durango Joe's. Nobody wants to work here. It is actually all businesses in the service industry are feeling it right now. And that felt really good. So yeah, do you have anything you want to add as far as a big takeaway?
Yeah, for Durango specifically, I think the one of the interesting pieces, the workers who were applying and actually showing up for interviews were a lot of high school aged people, and this was across the whole field. In fact, somebody made the comment when we were speaking about ways to reach out to the community and connect with somebody, one of the facilitators of the event said, how's the outreach to the high school and the college? And somebody spoke up and said, you know, we don't need an outreach to the high school. That's all we're getting. And then we did have some discussions, at least in Durango. There seems to be a bit of a disconnection with the college kids who come in and maybe not wanting to do part-time jobs anymore while going through school. I know school has been much harder doing a combo that changed weekly of in-class and on Zoom. And I know that we have lost some staff to needing to not work to focus on that. But that was pretty interesting to me that we're seeing that the in the latter end of high school, just at a high school age group, was all applying. And then probably the other big one is offering more pay or bonuses to sign on did not seem very successful, seemed to not really garner much, and maybe even step on the toes who have been there long term, being like, why would you offer a new person $250 to sign when I've stuck through this whole pandemic with you, worked hours, was here the whole time.
Yeah, that is one of those things that can come back to bite you, I think, as a business owner. If you start giving out too many incentives, then you've got a core group of people that have been with you for a long time going, whoa, what about me? And so from a fairness, I think, standpoint, that's probably not the greatest idea. And again, some of you out there that are listening, you may have done an incentive and it worked. That's great. That's great. But for us, we're just, trying again to find people. And in fact, today I had somebody call me and ask if they can, their 15-year-old boy could apply at Durango Joe's. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then I found out that legally, there's laws that prohibit 15-year-olds actually working in our places. So anyway, what other things can we suggest? I mean, you just talked about the increase of pay and potentially that, how that doesn't work. Why wouldn't that work?
I mean, I've been reading a lot of articles, especially service industry, anything I could get my hands on just to see. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not, for certain industries, potentially this is different for the service industry, I'm not entirely sure there's a reasonable amount of money that would reasonable for those who might be like, arguing livable wage. I'm not speaking to that. I'm reasonable as in you can have people work for you and keep your doors open and you're not losing money. I don't think there's a reasonable amount you can pay people to come to work for you. I believe what we've seen is that you what sets you apart? Why are you different? What are things you offer? What are other incentives? What are things that can help somebody grow? If it's a part-time job, then if you don't stick out, there's part-time jobs everywhere. Yeah. You can create your own part-time job depending on where you live and the time of the year. So if you're gonna offer part-time positions, why are you different? What makes you something that they would choose? Because if everybody's hiring now, everyone has their pick. They can not show up to interviews. And even in a small town, they can do a terrible interview here, you know, here or there. And people aren't necessarily worried about, oh, you know, I don't know who knows who, but it doesn't matter to me because they need people and they're going to hire me.
Yeah. And one of the things we did, Tiff, was, mm-hmm. and you talked to this point, we actually shrunk down our interview process a little bit, you know, because mm-hmm. we found out that people, if they had to wait to find out if they got a job or something like that, we would actually miss out on that opportunity with them.
I think a lot of this goes back to the fact that what Steve was saying, there are so many part-time positions right now that, in a way we're fighting for people. And so when we take our time, maybe a little too long, arguably to hire on, we, you know, there were others, our applicants getting offered other positions elsewhere that they had already accepted. And so, you know, this goes back to adjusting to the space that you're in. You know, you have to remain flexible and hold some of your procedures and your processes, you know, loosely, because, you know, like, it's an ebb and flow. People ebb and flow, the times ebb and flow. And that's the season that we're in, is it was really important to adjust and to step back from the hiring process of it being, you know, a two-step process and still hit all of the same key points and all the incredible, like, really solid pieces we needed to make sure we covered. Is this somebody we really want to bring on and keep that mentality of being slow to hire, but doing it quicker still. And yeah. So, you know, I think that's important, is that we didn't neglect any of our hiring process. We just condensed it down so that it can be much quicker. And we can have that turnaround of going from, you know, an initial like screening to the interview to, hey, you're hired, you know, in ideally less than a 24 to 48 hour period, as opposed to, you know, previously it would take us a few more days.
Exactly. Some of the questions that we've kind of pondered and thrown around, or we've asked the question, I should say, why aren't there more people interviewing for jobs? What happened to this workforce that we had, the ages of 18 to 35? What do you guys think? What happened to them? Why aren't they applying?
I think in our brains as humans, we love to come up with one specific answer that's like, we solved this one thing and boom, there they are. But the truth of the matter is, it is a myriad of issues, I think. And, you know, it's really smart and wise of us to try and like project and to foresee and, you know, predict what can bring people in. And I think that's incredibly wise of us. But I think that time will tell, you know, as we move along here and we continue to pivot and adjust and make small adjustments. But to answer your question, I mean, I think people in the workforce are taking a look at trying to find more remote jobs, or here in Durango specifically, to what Steve was saying, it being a college town, well, college in general, is it in person? Is it not in person? Do I just remain at home and not actually go to work? And then I can utilize some of the money that's being handed out for unemployment benefits and things like that while I do school remotely. And that kind of changed the nature of our college town here with college students. It was absolutely part of that. And I think in a broad sense, you know, I've read articles about childcare coming into and factoring into that, with daycares being shut down and so many different factors of everything from remote work to, is it worth the money that I'm making or the money that I can make, you know, focusing on school while utilizing unemployment benefits?
Yeah. I think people still, in my opinion, are afraid. This pandemic thing hasn't gone away completely. You know, COVID is not gone. So I think people potentially might be a little afraid to hang out with large groups of people. And that's what happens in a coffee shop right now. People are gathering. So people might be hesitant to come to work, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, I think the unemployment benefits play into it as well. And I think the sooner maybe those go away, more people might want to come back to work. But again, it's like you said, an ebb and flow, and we have to kind of play with what we have and make do and get through it. So to kind of wrap this thing up in a bow, what are some tips or things that we can say that might help somebody that's in this position right now that hasn't really got through it or has just been bombarded and feels discouraged? What can we tell them?
Well, focus on the ones you have and retaining them. So adjusting hours so they're not being overworked. if you have to change your business hours completely, more than just slimming down hours by being open only on the days that you tend to have the best kind of day and closed on the days that you're not, you can absolutely do something like that.
Yeah. I would also, much like we had to look at with our interview process, and there might be other things that we preach into the choir here, can look at ourselves too, but what are some, take a look at your business as best as you can from outside your business and think, oh man, like if I could change and shorten that interview process and the hiring process, or, you know, are there more platforms for advertising my open positions? You know, what can you adjust that just even from a processes standpoint to make it more fluid? And then, yeah, to keep the people, I don't think we can say that enough. What are you doing to support the people that you have, maintain their loyalty and making sure they feel refreshed and that they have what they need, you know, and are excited to be part of the culture and excited to stay on. And, you know, from even the HR standpoint, which I sit a little bit in that role, but, you know, what are some of those benefits and offerings or things that do set you apart that maybe isn't just compensation related, but is something that somebody wants to be a part of because they feel like it's different than going to another part-time role.
Yeah. I think, you know, throwing money at the problem and just trying to give your employees more money is not probably the best solution. And I know it's a knee-jerk reaction solution, but we're already in this industry struggling to make money, and to throw money at, you know, the situation, it's like, where's that money going to come from? Yeah. You know, if you're already struggling. So I would encourage, as you guys said, hey, take care of the people that you have, mm-hmm. and don't overwork them. Keep them updated, you know, encourage them daily if you can through Zoom calls or whatever, because the staff that you have will sustain you through this whole thing. If you can keep them happy in a sense and not overworked and burned out. So I think there's some good things there that we've said today. And I know we've had to experience a lot of different things that has made actually our business a lot better. I really do believe, you know, the pandemic has shocked the world, but I think through it all, we have been able to hone in on some things that has allowed us to refine and define what we do in a more healthy way. So
I agree.
All right. Well, appreciate you guys being on the mic with me today. This is a great topic, and hopefully it's not something we're talking about in 3 months. So,
amen.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Durango Joes podcast. We hope it provided some practical ideas for the year ahead. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review and sharing it with someone else who could benefit from our content. The Durango Joes podcast is published by Durango Joes Coffee. It is written and produced by founder Joe Lloyd.